SBS Radio.
SBS.
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 SBS Radio.
Senator Louise Pratt, welcome to SBS.
Thank you.
Now, this Senate inquiry into dowry abuse in Australia was many months, well over a year in the making, and finally the report is out. Before we discuss it, how do you feel having gone through all of the motions? What has been the experience like for you?
Well, it's been, I guess, very moving to hear the experiences of people affected by dowry abuse. And it's great to have come to the stage where we're tabling a report with hope for the future that we can prevent this kind of abuse from happening.
Now, let's talk about what's specifically mentioned in the recommendations. First of all, I read that the committee recommends not criminalising dowry in Australia. Explain that.
Yes, well, we are concerned that it might drive dowry abuse further underground. And we also recognise that married couples will bring assets into their relationship. It's only where that becomes abusive and that might be an issue. So we do need to be careful, for example, if a bride brings assets to a relationship, but those assets are taken out by other members of the family and given to other people. So it's a complicated thing in terms of what you define as dowry and when it has benefit, but this also disadvantage for those who participate in it.
The basic thing that I gleaned out of it is that dowry is going to come under the term economic abuse. Just tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, it's been very clear that forms of abuse have been occurring using the practice of dowry as a form of that abuse. For example, I'd seen cases where women, while they were still overseas waiting to marry their prospective spouses, are being asked to put more and more money into their husband's bank accounts, only to find that they don't have access to that money themselves and that their spouse is not putting any money in and that money has been transferred to other people. Mm. And that the pretense of dowry, the desire of the spouse to get hold of that money, was frankly the pretext for the creation of the whole relationship. Mm. And at times the woman did not even know that that was the case. They had high hopes for their future relationship in Australia. So I do see some of these examples as quite extreme forms of abuse.
So, Louise, was this only happening overseas or was this also happening in Australia?
Look, there's a very clear international element to this. It might be, for example, that someone has an Australian citizenship and they are looking for a bride, and that a family sees Australian citizenship and a life in Australia as a desirable thing. Mm. And so that Australian citizen can extract a very high dowry price because of that. So it has a very international component to it.
So when we say international, are we talking only India, or was there any other country as well?
Oh, look, there are examples coming from Africa in relation to bride price, mm-hmm. and large parts of the subcontinent. So I certainly wouldn't want to single out any particular culture or community in this regard.
But the Senate inquiry in the report clearly says that the Indian law prohibiting dowry has not worked. And, you know, you're trying to put that into action over here in Australia as well.
Yes, it's very clear that the Indian law preventing dowry hasn't worked because dowry abuse is still practiced in India. And in addition, we certainly also had examples of men falsely accused of dowry abuse put before the committee, including examples of Australian men where Australian citizens where that had happened. Mm. But what we need is a very clear sense of where and to whom the harm is occurring in terms of that abuse, and good law should be able to do that.
Yes, and we did notice there was a full chapter about reverse dowry where you've conceded that there has been misuse of law and men in Australia have borne the brunt of it.
Yes, that's right. So there were very, very sad examples on both sides, and in that sense we need to be make to make sure that dowry abuse does not happen in either direction.
There's a specific recommendation of a new type of visa to protect women at risk. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, look, it was alarming to us that some women on temporary visas here in Australia don't have adequate protection for their circumstances. So, for example, women who might be here with their spouse, and their spouse is on a student visa, so neither of them have a permanent visa, or where the man might have a permanent visa but the woman doesn't. There have been some terrible examples where people are just have been married and dumped back at home in their home country without any assets, and frankly, the shame of not being able to even go back to their own family because of the breakdown of their relationship. So there are some incredibly vulnerable people in these situations. So we do need to look at how our visa program can make these matters worse for people.
So just to understand, this visa should be or would be made available to even international students and spouses of people on temporary visas?
It could be. I'm not saying that it would be, but it needs to be looked at because currently there are people on visas who are and the nature of their visa makes them extremely vulnerable. So you could be here as a spouse of a student and if you were a victim of family and domestic violence, you wouldn't have the same protections as people on other forms of visa, for example. So we've really got to take a close look at that.
Yes.
There's even been examples of people who are simply here on a visitor's visa, on a holiday visa, where the Australian government doesn't even know yet that this couple has an intention to marry or may even already have been married overseas. So you could be simply here as a tourist, but in fact you are in an established relationship and in a vulnerable relationship with someone else who is abusing you, who might even already be an Australian citizen, but your marriage, for example, might have taken place overseas.
Yes.
So there are some really clear examples of how the visa system can make people vulnerable.
Sure. And I see that there's a recommendation to have better data collection to understand how big a problem it is. But from your attendance at the public hearings, how rampant do you think the problem of dowry is in Australia?
Look, it was far more significant than I was really expecting it to be. And I saw that really from the wide range of participation of women and of community organisations who've been supporting and interacting with both men and women who've been affected by these issues. So I can't really say how big it is, but I can say that it's certainly big enough for us to take it seriously as an issue that needs legal and policy reform in Australia.
So when you say reform, I mean, in Victorian law, dowry has been mentioned as a form of family violence. So is that going to be written in every state legislature? Is that how it's going to work?
Look, we've suggested that it should be recognised, but it's not necessarily for the Commonwealth to decide, because if they're criminal laws in relation to family and domestic violence and economic abuse, then in general terms those laws are created by the states. So it really is time though for a national discussion about this kind of violence and abuse that's taking place.
Speaking about the discussion, Louise, were you aware of the reporting that SBS Punjabi did on this late last year? We brought out many, many stories of abuse, both faced by men and women. Did your committee consider our reporting at all?
Yes, no, very, very much so. The reporting that SBS has done has actually been really critical to informing the communities that are affected by this, and really helps people come forward to participate in the inquiry to tell their stories, because for too long people have suffered in silence on this issue. So the visibility that SBS has been giving to the issue has really helped our parliamentary inquiry.
Oh, that's really good to know, because what was surprising for us as journalists was that we'd been reporting about violence against women for a very long time and we knew the problem existed. We didn't realise the extent of the problem that the men were facing.
Yes.
And that was something new for us as well last year. That's why we reported on both sides of it.
Well, I'd really like to thank SBS for their role in highlighting these incredibly important issues, because by working together and raising the visibility of these issues, we can do something about it.
That's fantastic to hear. And just in closing, I know there is a recommendation for a culturally sensitive approach for all the frontline workers. How soon are these recommendations, you think, going to be acted upon?
Well, look, I'm really hoping that a future Labor government will be able to take these issues very seriously and consider the recommendations. Of course, it does take time to develop sensitive policy. So the policy says we need to do training, we need to make sure frontline organisations are prepared to do this, but we can't just invent that overnight because it's actually got to be informed by the experiences of the communities that are suffering these issues. So I'm really looking forward to being part of a government that wants to see these issues addressed in consultation with those affected.
I can only thank you very much for all the hard work and all the members on the Senate inquiry that took all these months to prepare this report. Thank you very much for speaking to us today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
SBS Radio.
Enjoy more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.